Tax code reform is back on the table for lawmakers to consider this session. Missing in the discussion, though, is the longtime president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, Lo Kalapa's sudden death, and his sudden and untimely death left a gap in that conversation. One board member and now interim president, Tom Yamachikas, is feeling. He stopped by the studio on Friday to talk about the movement to increase Hawaii's standard deductions. They're the lowest in the country, and I asked him why we've been so slow to recognize that it might be a good fix for people who don't make very much, regardless of their age, and to alleviate a lot of the costs associated with having to process their taxes.
Well, I think that's really the problem there. When you fiddle with the filing threshold, you're basically giving a benefit to everybody. And when you have the entire population that you're looking at, like $1 of benefit with a million filers is $1 million right there. So the numbers start to get very large very quickly, and the numbers, I think, in the past have been so large to scare off lawmakers and to say, well, geez, this is going to cost too much money. We can't do this.
But the cost associated with having to process all of that material, from what you have said in your testimony, is considerable. And for what benefit to what part of the population, if you're really trying to extend some benefit to that population, don't you have to do it one way or the other?
Yeah, I think so. So what we had suggested is raising the filing threshold would basically get people off the system and bring them peace of mind, among other things, so that they wouldn't have to worry about, geez, am I going to have to file? Am I going to have to learn about what this new document is? And it changes every year. How am I going to do this? Do I need to hire somebody to do it for me? Can I get a friend or relative to do it for me? That kind of thing. If the filing threshold's higher and people actually don't have to be in the system, then it's peace of mind for them. It's a lot less in terms of processing for the government. And I think it's a win-win situation all around.
And it sort of de-emphasizes sort of that magical number of 65, where, yes, there may be a lot of tax code surrounding that age because that used to be traditionally the age of retirement, and for some people it still is, but that's been a moving target for a while now too, and the tax code hasn't really caught up to what's actually happening in society.
Well, that's true. There's been an ingrained preference in the tax code for taxpayers of age 65 or more. Right now, the Hawaii tax law grants them an extra exemption, which isn't worth that much, but it's still there, and an extra allowance of credit on the low-income household renter's credit, among other things. We raised the question in our testimony, well, okay, that's fine, but what's so magic about the age of 65? There are a lot of people out there who are struggling to make ends meet, kupuna and others, and what makes the over 65 group worth so much more in terms of the tax relief you're going to give them as opposed to everybody else?
The traditional answer has been, well, they live on fixed incomes. They don't have the ability to make any more money. But for anyone who is making X, whatever X may be, whether you are 35 or 65, you're still making X. And if the point is to try to relieve some of the tax burden on anybody making whatever that figure might be, your point seems to be you need to do it with a level hand.
Yes, no, I think that's very much correct. We look for consistency and equality in the tax system. If there are preferences and there's a good reason for them, that's fine, but let's try to be as even-handed, as fair as we possibly can.
So looking at what those numbers should be, if we were going to say, in the best of all possible worlds, according to you, Tom, what is it we need to have for anyone making whatever figure at whatever threshold, what do you think is the most fair and equitable to those who are both under 65 and over 65 making the very same amount?
Well, just conceptually, I think that we ought to make their lives simpler. We don't need to complicate it with a requirement that people file a whole bunch of forms that they may not understand. And we don't need to also complicate the lives of people on the government side who need to verify these and check these and make sure that people are claiming what they're entitled to and no more. A number of bills going through this session, for example, want to pick up the federal earned income credit. There are a lot of proponents behind that, and they say, well, these The federal earning credit is a good measure of poverty relief, and they want basically the same thing to happen in Hawaii. What we observed is the IRS has had a lot of experience with the federal earned income credit, and it's complicated. They have had to have a massive educational effort among not only taxpayers, but also tax preparers, the people who prepare the returns for them, and say, well, this is what we want, this is what we don't want, this is what we want you to verify, and if you're not going to prepare the returns accurately, we want to pull your license. So that's the kind of effort that had to be done at the federal level for this type of credit. Here in Hawaii, we have no experience with that. And
so you think that we're courting a whole bunch of trouble and a lot more work than we can handle?
I think so. We don't want to pick up this thing if it's going to create a lot more headaches than it's worth.
So what is the threshold that you think would fly, regardless, again, of age?
Well, I'm not really sure. You'd really have to crunch the numbers a lot. I don't have access to the same data that the...
But as written, this bill, the 2429 that we first started to talk about, is advancing some ideas of what that threshold should be. So what I'm hearing you say is that you don't really have a problem with some of the conceptual stuff of what it would try to do, but that because the numbers are a little inconsistent with each other, that you'd like to see those numbers be made consistent so that regardless of someone's age, if they're at a certain income level, they're getting out of the tax system, not having to file, and that they are getting some tax relief, which is what we've been talking about for eons.
Right. There are other systems in place to give money to people who need them. AFDC, similar situations, similar systems that are in place. There have been a lot of people who are trying to push refundable credits so that people with little or no income can get not only no tax, but that the tax system actually gives them back money. That kind of goes counter to the relief concept in that these people now have to file returns. And they get checks. And sometimes you in government want to make sure that the money these people get is not being spent inappropriately. I mean, like you want to have them buy food maybe, but not alcohol or not cigarettes or other things.
Yeah.
You would not be able to have that kind of strictures with a refundable credit system, because that just gives checks to taxpayers and they can do whatever they want with the money.
And there's still all the associated costs on the administrative level to be able to make sure all of that is happening the way it should and that they are entitled to those tax credits.
That's correct.
All right, so what do you think is going to happen with this one?
Well, hopefully it'll be advanced for further discussion, and then at the same time, the Department of Taxation or whatever other agencies are involved can give us some estimates of what the revenue impact's going to be. This early in the session, I know they're working on revenue estimates, but haven't necessarily got them completed for all of the measures under consideration. But I think once the hopper has had a chance to work and we kind of whittle down the number of bills, then the agencies can spend the necessary time and kind of drill down into the details of each particular bill. Hopefully this is one of them that we can get some further analysis on.
Good. Then we'll ask you to come back and take a look at the bill that we're actually going to be looking at after we get through crossover. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Tom Yamachika is the interim president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. The private nonprofit educational organization's job is to keep the taxpaying public informed about the finances of our state and local governments in Hawaii.